Our sermon text this morning is found in 1 John chapter 3. And I would like to begin reading from verse 13 and read through verse 24. And it's in verse 24 I want to pick up on an idea there and talk about it. Most of my sermons and most of Tom's sermons, and I think most evangelical preachers, preach what's called expository preaching. That's where you go through a verse and you explain the verse. But once in a while, you do a topical sermon. And that's what today is. It's more of a topical than expository. They're both good. So let me leave it at that. Hear now God's word. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, as we open up your word and as we talk about the Spirit, we ask that you be with the one who preaches, that you give him clarity of mind and of speech, that your people would be instructed in truth, that Jesus Christ may be lifted up, that you, our Father, would be honored and glorified, and that the Spirit, Lord, would be the one who leads us and guides us into all truth this morning. Be with each hearer, Lord, that they may be able to hear and listen, and if convicted of sin, Lord, confess that sin. If need comforting, Lord, be comforted. If need encouraging, be encouraged. If need to be emboldened, to be given that boldness. If need of joy, to be given that joy and gladness. And now, Father, bless this time to your honor and glory. Amen. When I came to faith, something very interesting was happening in American culture. I came to faith in 1972, actually 71. I was discharged in 1972. It was just before I was discharged. Came to faith, and at that time, all across America, hippies were coming to Jesus Christ. They were giving up their sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and they were coming to Christ in droves. In fact, they were called Jesus freaks, because they were so excited about God. And as I came to faith in a very normal evangelical type church, I would run into these Jesus freaks. And they would always be interested in, have I received the baptism of the Spirit? You see, once you receive Christ, that's you're on your way, but there's a second work that needs to take place, and that's the baptism of the Spirit. And you know how you can tell if you have the baptism of the Spirit. The number one sign that you have the Spirit's power in you is that you speak in tongues. And you manifest other kinds of miraculous things. Thing is, not much has changed since then. There are still people who want to know if you have had the baptism of the Spirit. And there are other people who have all kinds of confusion regarding the Holy Spirit and his role in your life. You have, of course, the so-called prosperity gospel teachers, and they all want you to have this second work of blessing and that, and sometimes it can create some confusion in the minds of believers. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, how do I know, how do you know that the Holy Spirit's power is within you? Real Holy Spirit power. Real exciting Holy Spirit power. Really get up and shout hallelujah, Holy Spirit power. No, I'm not going to lead you into any charismatic revival this morning. Trust me. You don't have to go running off to presbytery. I want you to know that there are, and these aren't the only things, of course, but these are four that I've picked this morning. You know you've got the Holy Spirit's power within you if you've experienced His drawing or His regenerating power. If you've obey or follow His glorifying power. If you are under the influence of His sanctifying power. And if you are led by His directing power. You know you have the Holy Spirit if you've experienced His drawing power, His regenerating power. You see, if you're sitting here, and if you believe, and I hope you're sitting here and you, I should say, I hope as you're sitting here, you do believe with all of your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, with all of your strength. I hope that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you do that, it's not because one night or one morning you said to yourself, today's the day I'm going to come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to repent of my sins, and I'm going to believe. It's not because you heard some great lecturer, some great preacher, and that person convinced you. You know, his logic and his evidence were so spectacular, I have no other recourse but to go ahead and fall down on my knees before Jesus Christ. No. It couldn't have happened that way. Why not? But because before you came to faith in Jesus Christ, know what you were? You were a zombie. You were the living dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Your minds were darkened. Your hearts were hardened. You could not have believed if you had wanted to. You were given over to sensuality. You could not have come to faith on your own in Jesus Christ, to use the words of the prophet, any more than a leopard could change his spots or an Ethiopian the color of his skin. He, the Spirit, had to bring you to Christ. Because without the Spirit, you could not even understand God's Word. I think I mentioned my beloved Aunt Gertrude Trudy. When I was a young teenager, every year for Christmas, I got the same present, a Bible, a New Testament. I did not want that. I would have preferred socks. And every year, I would take that and I try to read a little out of it. Made no sense to me. And it makes no sense to those in the world either. Why not? Because a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. He can't even understand them. You see, when you come to faith, when the Spirit brings you to faith, you receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that you might know, understand, comprehend, appreciate the things freely given to you by God. You came because you believed because the Spirit came and gave you life. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Truly, truly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You had to be born again. And your new birth is no more influenced by you than was your original birth. Because Jesus also said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again, and you must be born of the Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives new birth. It's the Spirit who gives new life. And the way the Spirit uses that in the normal way is through His Word, through the preaching and the hearing of His Word. Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Do you have faith? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Have you repented of your sins? If you have, and I trust that you have, then I have to say you have experienced the Spirit's power in your life. You've experienced His regenerating power. He has given you new birth. He has taken that heart of flesh turned it into a heart of flesh. And He's made you alive. But the Spirit's power also works in its glorifying power. Speaking of the work of the Spirit, Jesus says, He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and show it to you. It's good to hear sermons about the Holy Spirit. It's good to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's good to study about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's God. We should learn about Him and study about Him. But I get a little uneasy when certain ministries, that seems to be their primary focus, seems to be the only thing that is important to them. The Spirit, primary job, or a primary job of the Spirit, is to glorify Jesus Christ. You want to know where the Spirit is at work? Go somewhere where Jesus Christ is glorified, where Jesus Christ is honored, where Jesus Christ is lifted up. Do you know if the Holy Spirit is at work in your life? Do you desire to glorify Jesus Christ? Do you desire to lift Him up? Do you desire that His name be known? Do you desire that He'd be honored? I, as a sinner like the rest of you, will watch a movie. And there are things in movies that I don't like to see. I won't go into detail about that. You can use your own imagination. But you know what bothers me more about those things that I wish I weren't presented before my eyes is hearing God's name taken in vain. To hear His name being used loosely. Is the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus Christ in your life? Now, what kind of tools does the Holy Spirit use to help you do that? Well, through the Scripture. through his word. The only infallible record of Jesus Christ and his work. It's his scripture. You might say that in order to glorify Jesus Christ, you know, I have to correct myself. You have to say in order to glorify Jesus Christ, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? As I've mentioned before, and probably haven't in a while, but the book of Colossians is a parallel book to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to God, and then submitting to one another, and etc., etc., etc. But in Colossians, he says, be filled with God's word. And when you are that, all these other things will come. So I'm saying, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Then be filled with God's word. And the more you're filled with God's word, the more power the Holy Spirit will exercise in your life as you glorify Jesus Christ. As you honor him, as you walk in obedience to him, as you love him, as you keep his commandments. Be filled with his word. His word will strengthen you and give you courage. Be filled with his word. Study his word. Study theology. Just recently, I took a number of my books. I cried over them as I took them. And I brought them to Knox's library. Because I'm not going to be needing all of them. But as I brought them to Knox's library, I said, you know, I hope and pray they don't sit in this library and collect dust. I want to hear that that library is being used. That not just my books, but all those books are being taken out. Pick up Edersheim's The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. It's only this thick. It's only that thick. Read it. Learn what it was like to walk in Christ's time. Understand more. Listen to good preachers. Oh, we're so blessed here at Knox with Tom Martin. But you know, Tom's not getting any younger. Someday, somebody else will be here. Be sure that man is a solid preacher of God's word. You know the Holy Spirit's power is working within you if you've experienced his regenerating power, his drawing power. You know the Holy Spirit's power is working in you if you experience his glorifying power. That you want Jesus Christ honored. That you put him before yourself. And you know the Holy Spirit's working in you if you experience his sanctifying power. Paul writes, and he says in 2 Thessalonians verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you. I like that. We should always give thanks to God for all you Christians out there. We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. I like that too. We give thanks because God loves you. Do you ever think of yourself as beloved? Now I'm going a little astray here but have you ever thought of yourself as beloved? God loves you with a love that cannot end. Because why God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through, and this is how he's chosen you for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit. Holiness. Sanctified. There is a sense in which you are sanctified. God has taken you and he has put you aside for his own holy use. You are sanctified. And there's a sense in which you will be sanctified when Christ comes again, or you go to Christ and you're in his presence. But there's also this sense in which you are being sanctified. It's an ongoing process. And it is said is the one aspect of salvation in which you play a role. In which you play a role. Paul says in Philippians, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Work it out. Do you desire holiness in your life? Do you desire purity in your life? Do you desire to read and look at those things that are pure and good? Do you run quickly after evil or quickly after holiness? Would you rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord or something else? The Holy Spirit helps you in your sanctification. First of all, by giving you an understanding of his word. Second of all, through prayer. He, at times, with words, with utterances too deep for words, prays with you. The Holy Spirit is there to sanctify you by giving you the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, it's my habit to say in Galatians, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, but it is a fruit of the Spirit. And that is love. Do you have love for the brethren? Do you have love for holy things? Do you have love for the truth? Joy. Do you have joy in spite of some dark things in this world and dark things that may happen in your life? Think of Tim Flora and his family. Think of Pastor Doe and his family. Think of those in the congregation who have suffered loss. And yet, in spite of these things, you would ask them, do you have joy? Yes, because joy is that underlying sense that God is in control and I don't have to worry. Do you have peace? Not peace at any price, but peace with God. Peace knowing that you are no longer his enemy, but his friend. Do you have patience? My favorite word for patience is put-upness. Put-upness. Put-up-with. Can you put up with things? And not only circumstances, you know, you're in a traffic jam, you have to have patience. Do you have patience with people? Can you put up with others that irritate you? And yeah, people do irritate us from time to time. Yes. Are you filled with kindness and goodness? Are you faithful? Are you trustworthy? Is your word any good? Are you gentle? Are you self-controlled? You know the Holy Spirit's working in your life. How? If you've experienced his regenerating power. if you're in his program of glorifying power, if you're following his sanctifying power, and if you're under his directing power, that you walk by faith, not by sight, that you heed his leading. And his leading does not come from impressions. I'm sure I'm guilty of it. I hope not too often. But any time someone says, I feel God is telling me, I hear the Spirit saying to me, God is leading me, they're actually claiming new revelation. The Spirit directs you through his word, through God's word. You want to know God's will for your life and what to do? Obey him, as one minister once said, obey him, and then do what pleases you as you obey him. And he directs you and guides you and teaches you and watches over you and comforts you. He fills you. He's your helper. But a way, and this, I'll keep this brief at this point, a way in which he directs you and leads you is by giving you a gift. Every person in this room who's a believer, at the time of his or her conversion, was given a spiritual gift. More than likely, two or three spiritual gifts. Use your spiritual gift. Well, Pastor Stastny, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is? Remember what I just told you a moment ago? Obey the Spirit, then do what you like. What is it you like to do in the church? Do you like helping people? Do you like exhorting people? Do you like comforting people? Do you like sharing your resources with people? Do you like instructing his people? Well, then maybe you have the gift of mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement, the gift of exhortation, the gift of teaching. Don't worry about identifying your gift in particular. Just reach out in the church and in the community and do those things that you're good at. I don't mean to put her on the spot, but I know one gift my wife has, administration. And boy, am I glad she does. Because if she were not there to organize the household, my life would be a mess. So do those things that make you feel good when you do them. Make you feel good when you do them. Are you ever concerned as to whether or not the Spirit is working in your life? Well, I hope after this morning you've lost that concern. I hope you can say, oh, yeah, I've experienced his regenerating power. And oh, what a blessing it is. Yes. I'm experiencing his glorifying power because I want Jesus Christ to be praised. Yes, his sanctifying power is at work in my life because I hate sin. I detest the evil that still lies within my breast. And yes, I experience his directing power because I want to be active in the life of my church. I want to be active in my community. I want to go forth under the power of the Spirit, listening to him and obeying him. People of God, may that be yours. Amen. In the back of your hymnal on page 845, you will find the Apostles' Creed. We are going to stand as we recite it. Please stand.